Hi, I'm John Kiriakou, and welcome back to another episode of Deep Focus. There was a report that came out just over the last day or two saying that the CIA may have had access to information, foreign information, from the 1950s showing classified research that could have changed the way we treat cancer. Did the CIA have the cure for cancer? Who knows? If they did, why didn't they share it with anybody? Why didn't they immediately send it to the National Institutes of Health, let's say, for further development? Or what was at the time the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare? We don't know. But we're going to talk about this and other really important and timely topics with Michael Kunstler. Mike is the CEO of All Family Pharmacy, one of our advertisers. Mike, welcome to the show. Very happy to have you.
Thanks for having me, John.
Mike, I was kind of taken by surprise with this report yesterday. It first appeared in the Daily Mail, the UK tabloid. The thing about the Daily Mail and about tabloids in general is that, you know, many of us like to make fun of them. And every once in a while, they have a blockbuster exclusive that turns out to be completely true. I always say we shouldn't forget that the Monica Lewinsky story was broken by the National Enquirer. So you've got to take these reports seriously. And the Daily Mail said that there was this CIA classified research based on what was a report that appeared to originate in China. And it could have changed the way we treated cancer. Tell us about this report and what you've heard.
So the information that we have regarding this report is that endoparasites share a similar metabolic pathway that cancerous tumors grow, right? And so the information provided to us from our researchers and the physicians that we work with is that parasites grow just like tumors grow. They use the same metabolic pathway. Using antiparasitic medications, you shut down that pathway. You basically paralyze the parasite by allowing it not to eat, killing it off, and then allowing your body and your immune system to just flush it out of your system. And so the document, from our understanding and the researchers that we work with, their understanding is that they've had this information for some time that they share the same pathway. Shut off the parasite, you kill it, it goes away. Shut off the tumor, you kill it, it goes away. Allow your body to naturally fight the remaining parts of the tumor.
So drugs like mebendazole and ivermectin, which we talk about all the time, we mention them in the ads. They've been around for decades, 40 plus years. They're cheap. They're available as generics. They're now being studied in cancer trials. What's surprising to me is that this hadn't been done years and years ago. Why do you think that low-cost, off-patent treatments like these tend to get overlooked by mainstream medicine?
Our number one indicator is obviously money. It's always about the money when it comes to these large corporations, right? They want to patent drugs, cancer drugs specifically, because they rake in billions of dollars. The cancer industry is worth over, I forget the number, it's like $300 billion just on cancer drugs and treatments alone. I mean, each treatment, sometimes they're in the upwards of 100,000 and even more. We've had patients who are on Keytruda. It's an immunotherapy drug. It's $60,000 a month. They're on it for six months. You do the math. That's what they're charging either the patient or the insurance. And if the patient can afford it, you know, God bless them. But it's insane. Whereas mebendazole, we can compound it for, you know, $1.25 a capsule. You take 60 capsules a month, do the math. I mean, it's far cheaper.
Wow. Right. Johns Hopkins University, right over here in Baltimore, Maryland, one of the finest medical schools, one of the finest research hospitals in the world, actually filed a patent in 2021 for mebendazole as a cancer treatment. So what does that say to you when a major institution like Johns Hopkins University is patenting a 40-year-old antiparasitic drug? And what does that mean for patient access?
It means that they found something. You know, when they go to patent a drug, they don't patent it for any reason. There is a lot of money that goes into research. Millions of dollars goes into these phase one, phase two, and even phase three trials. So they're not going to put their money into a drug like mebendazole unless they see something. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to patent a specific type of mebendazole called Polymorph C, which is the only type of mebendazole that we purchase here at the pharmacy level. We've noticed it for 2 years now, if not longer, that it has had some anti-tumor effects to it. And, you know, we can't go out there and talk about it because our regulators will, you know, they'll destroy us as a business because they're the ones that regulate our license. If I don't have a license, I cannot sell medication. So I can't go to the, you know, the highest mountain in the United States and scream to everybody, take mebendazole because it has anti-tumor properties to it. You know, that's just unfortunate. It's the era that we live in. So what we do is we try to get the information out there that is available so that we're not specifically promoting one drug, but we're promoting everything in terms of anti-tumor effects, anti-cancer effects, anti-inflammatory effects. These are medications that helped with COVID. Now, all of a sudden, they're helping with, you know, cancer. And it's not just the thousands and thousands of patients that are in my system that are taking it. It's all over the world. They're in Canada. They're in UK. They're in Australia. They're in Germany. They're all over Facebook. There are hundreds of groups out there. People are sharing information with each other. It's just you have to be careful of the false information, and you have to be careful of those who are pretending to be a doctor, because these medications, they are safe and effective. They do need guidance from a medical practitioner.
When I first heard of All Family Pharmacy, I thought, oh, that's nice, an independently owned pharmacy. There's one right up the street. But that's not at all what All Family Pharmacy is. You are a compounding pharmacy and a full service pharmacy at the same time. You operate differently from a chain pharmacy. Can you walk people through what that actually looks like, what a patient experiences when they walk into All Family Pharmacy compared to like going down here to a CVS or a Walgreens?
Yeah. So for instance, just in comparison between us and CVS, CVS will have one pharmacist on staff at all times. We'll have a minimum of two. If not, we have up to four, depending upon how busy we are and depending on the need. You know, during flu season, we do staff up to four pharmacists at one time. What that means is you're getting better care. They're double checking everything. There are more pharmacists available for patient questions, for side effect questions. Those who are currently taking some of our medications and they need a little bit of guidance from a pharmacist. We staff them so that they could help you and assist you. CVS is not interested. Walmart is not interested in that. They're interested in you going into their pharmacy because their insurance requires it to go in there and just fulfill the prescription and then walk right out the door. They want to do 700-800 patients a day. They don't want to answer questions. They just want to bill, give you the medications, and get you out the door. That is their primary objective. Our primary objective is to educate our patients, to help our patients, to allow them to look at an array of different medications that might be available for them this month, that might be available for them next month, right? We're walking into allergy season. We're walking into spring break, summer vacations. We offer medications that might be, you know, good for you on vacation, right? I take a plethora of medications when I go on family trips. I take something because my son is prone to ear infections. We like to go to the beach. We like to go to the pool. You know, I take Zofran for nausea. My daughter and my wife, they both get nauseous in cars, on boats, in airplanes from time to time. So we like to keep a lot of medications, but the ones that are suitable for us for vacations like that. And then on top of that, allergy season, we have nasal sprays. We have inhalers. We have antibiotics. We have anti-allergy meds, you name it. So here at the pharmacy level, you could come to us for one medication, and then we present a plethora of other drugs that may be suitable for you for the suitable future. You never know when flu season comes around. You never know how handy a $25 box of Tamiflu can be. It could literally be the fact that you get better in 2 days or you get better in 7 days. And it's just a $25 cheap generic medication that's been around for ages. Why get a vaccine that the regulators are telling you it doesn't work? Just keep a box of Tamiflu. You get the flu, it's supposed to cut the duration in half, if not shorter. Get you back to work. If you're a mom, get you back up so you could take your kids to school, help your kids with, you know, the daily chores, homework, stuff like that. So that's what we are as a pharmacy. We're here to put you in touch with licensed physicians, licensed pharmacists to guide you in the right direction medically, to provide these medications that are specific to your lifestyle.
So, Mike, this term medical freedom is a phrase that gets thrown around a lot, especially since the emergence of COVID. What does it actually mean in practice inside a pharmacy like All Family Pharmacy? Where do you draw the line between what a patient wants and what is safe for the patient to take?
So we draw the line where the physician, the prescribing physician, draws the line. So we will have a conversation with you. We will encourage a medication that we may think is suitable based on information you provide us. But the doctor is the doctor and the pharmacist, I should say, are the ultimate red line. They're the ones who make the informed decisions whether the medication will either harm you or it may help you. So when we provide our services, we do go through medical practitioners. These are licensed physicians. We've picked them up through COVID because they're sick of the healthcare system. They're sick of working in hospitals and getting underpaid and overworking. They're sick of the traditional, hey, you can only see me when you're sick type of attitude from a primary care doctor. Two of the physicians that we have on board were emergency room physicians, and they're sick and tired of the healthcare system. They would rather sit down, have a nice conversation with a patient who's looking for something for either themselves, something for their family, something that is beneficial for them, rather than just being stuck in a broken system, having to do a surgery, getting underpaid, and then fighting the hospital to get paid. You know, medical freedom is realistically at the end of the day is about you as a patient coming in and having access to medications, not being denied because regulatory aspects step into play where they think, hey, you cannot touch this medication. It does not help you for this specific reason. Well, if it's safe for you and the doctor says, yeah, this is not going to hurt you, but you could try it because off-label use says that it might have some anti-inflammatory effects. It might help you with COVID. It might help you with cancer. It might have anti-tumor effects. That is medical freedom, having the ability as an American to try something that you believe may help you.
There you go. Compounding pharmacies have a unique ability to prepare medications that the standard market doesn't offer. That was actually something that was new to me. In the context of the cancer parasite research that we talked about at the start, are there medications or are there protocols that you're currently helping patients access that they just couldn't get elsewhere?
Yeah. Protocols, generically, we go right to Dr. William Mackis. He is a cancer researcher out of Canada. He just got his license here in Florida. We're hoping to welcome him here to the Sunshine State soon. He has a lot of really good data based on his own protocols, utilizing drugs like ivermectin, mabendazole, fenbendazole, and a plethora of over-the-counter supplements that he has seen help those with cancer in conjunction with their traditional therapy. That last part is very important because as a provider here at a pharmacy, as well as himself as a doctor, we like to let everybody know that you could still continue your regular treatment with your physician if you decide to go off label. And there is actually good data suggesting the use of off label ivermectin and mabendazole or fenbendazole if you go the veterinarian route with stuff like chemo and radiation. A lot of people don't like chemo and radiation, and we completely understand that. It destroys the human body. It is not good. The side effects beyond, you know, cancer is unfathomable. So, but we do highly suggest that you listen to your oncologist, and if you want to go the off-label route, we will walk you through that route as well. It's something you can do in conjunction, and there's great data that they actually work well together.
Interesting. Patients, we see this all the time. They increasingly show up to a doctor's appointment with a bunch of pages of paper in hand. It's things that they found online. Sometimes it's solid. Sometimes it's questionable. How do you handle a conversation when somebody comes in to ask you about ivermectin or fenbendazole for cancer? Based on what they've read, they've found some website that says they need to be on this drug. What do you tell them?
So I actually personally myself, I take a lot of time out of my day at night. I go on these Facebook groups. I go in, you know, these chat rooms, and I read what people are suggesting. I read what the admins are talking about, because these admins, they know the spams, they know the bots, they know the fake people that are out there on Facebook and Instagram, all the Meta platforms, and what they're spewing on the falsified side. So I could understand when somebody comes to the table and says, hey, we could take these five natural supplements and it's better than an anti-parasitic drug. It's going to kill a parasite. It's going to help you with cancer. They're just spewing a lot of false information. We already know off the bat that that's not true. These are just claims they're making because they work for a supplement company. They work for, or they own their own supplement company, and they're just pushing something down the throats of those Americans. When people are really hard selling something, they're hard selling it for a reason, right? That's the name of the game when it comes to sales. At the pharmacy level, when you come to us, we give you options. We don't force things down your throat. We want to weigh the options out. We want to talk about your lifestyle. We want to talk about whatever off-label use you're using. And then we're going to try to guide you in the right direction. Ultimately, at the end of the day, America, just like we say, medical freedom, you, the patient, has the option to make the decision whether you want to go that route or not. We don't force anything. The only thing we force is that if you come through our platform, you do need to go through our physicians, or you can go through your physicians, but it has to be through a medical practitioner or a doctor that is licensed to prescribe. Because the products that we sell, the medications that we sell, are real medications. We want to help you. We don't want to hurt you. So that's the number one goal for us.
You've been doing this for a long time. You've been involved in this world of pharmaceuticals for a long time. What's the one thing that you wish more Americans understood about who really controls what medications they can or can't have access to?
The ultimate controller at this current moment is the insurance companies. Yeah. And that boils down to pharmacy benefit managers, the PBMs. Not a lot of people know what a PBM is. That was, I believe, Bush who started that. He wanted a middleman between the insurance company and the pharmacy because he wanted the negotiations of lower drug pricing. But what he did is he actually jacked the prices up because the PBMs wanted to make their percentage. And what happens in America when people get involved is greed happens. Their percentage was only 5%. Then they want 10%. Now they want 12%. And the numbers only go up. So as drug prices go up, those percentages go up. So I think one of the biggest issues in America is the insurance company telling you what drugs you can and then cannot take. How many times have your audience members walked into CVS or Walgreens or Walmart and said, hey, my doctor prescribed me this medication. They believe it'll help me. And then they look on your plan and says, sorry, this drug's not covered. We have something similar, but you have to go back to your doctor and talk to them about it. It's like your doctor should be the one making that decision, not the insurance company. And so I think that is one of the biggest issues we have out there. And on top of that, the insurance companies have these gag orders in place on a pharmacy. If you provide me a prescription and I run your insurance and the deductible is $35, but my cash price is $20, I have to keep my mouth shut and run your insurance and charge you $35. That's the unfortunate part. So on top of all this, we dive deep into big pharma. Insurance companies is almost just as bad as drug manufacturers when it comes to this.
I honestly did not know that. That is infuriating. Mike, if somebody is watching us right now and God forbid they're dealing with a cancer diagnosis or somebody close to them is dealing with a cancer diagnosis and they feel like the conventional path isn't working for them or they want to explore some other option, right? Which many, many cancer patients do. What's the first thing that you would tell them to do?
The best advice I got from Dr. William Mackis out of Canada, who's now coming here to Florida with his Florida license, is that don't wait till it's the last thing to do. Ivermectin, mebendazole, we've been doing this for 6 years. there are rare side effects that could be harmful, but they're very rare. Every drug has a side effect. Don't be scared of a side effect of a medication without trying it. We will give you the proper guidance on these side effects. So don't wait till the last second, because especially when it comes to cancer, when you get to that point, you need a Hail Mary. You know, you need to get on your knees and pray to God that something's going to work. Because at that point, when cancer's taken over your body, I've seen it firsthand with my father. I've seen it firsthand with my father-in-law, back-to-back years of watching both of them pass from cancer. Once you get to stage four and beyond, and chemo is no longer an option, radiation and immunotherapy is no longer an option, the odds of ivermectin and mebendazole have just gone to the floor. And so the number one thing I could tell you is, don't wait till it's too late. Don't, if you want to try conventional therapy, 100% go for it. We are always going to encourage you to listen to your oncologists. They're the ones who study cancer. But our healthcare system is broken in a way that forces their hand to say, hey, I only want you to do chemo. I only want you to do radiation. I only want you to do immunotherapy. They're not allowed to think outside the box. So we're going to step into play as a practitioner with our doctors, as a pharmacist with our licensed pharmacist, to give you an additional option on top of radiation, on top of immunotherapy, on top of chemotherapy, something that could help you in terms of not hurting you. We want to help. We want to help in the fight. I have a list of patients that, you know, we've helped and we've seen some tremendous results. But the number one thing is, please don't wait till the last minute.
Amen to that. Mike Kunzler, thanks for joining us. Mike is the CEO of All Family Pharmacy. Please check out their website, allfamilypharmacy.com. And there's actually a 10% discount if you go to allfamilypharmacy.com/John. Check it out. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Thank you, John.